This is the Roots of Rock Monthly Jam Session. Here's your host, Sean Tompkins.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and welcome to another Roots of Rock Jam Session. I know, I said I wasn't really going to get much of a chance to do these in the summer, but I came across something really cool that I wanted to share with you all, so I couldn't resist the opportunity. There are a couple people in England that have put together an exhibition that documents the historical legacy of a guy named Percy Phillips. Now, Percy Phillips, he's a guy who's been called the Sam Phillips of England. You know, Sam Phillips, some studios, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, you know. But Percy Phillips was based in Liverpool many years ago around the same time and has some direct associations with many of the artists and musicians from the Liverpool area in those days, the most famous of which being the Beatles. Now, I spoke with one of the curators of the Percy Phillips exhibition. His name is Pete Goodall. He's an insider from the early days of rock and roll in England. So let's throw to him, and I'll let him tell you some of the stories and things that you can expect as part of the Percy Phillips exhibition. But as always, we're going to hear from Poncho Parker and find out what's happening in the world of rock and roll today. Poncho?
Alice in Chains will perform tomorrow atop the iconic Space Needle in Seattle to commemorate this week's release of their sixth album, Rainy or Fog, and they will be the first band ever to perform on the Space Needle's brand new loop. It's the world's first and only revolving glass floor located 500 feet in the air. Cantrell said that Alice in Chains did not initially fit in with the whole Seattle music scene.
We definitely didn't fit into the Sub Pop scene. We were non-existent in that. I guess we were too rock. Yeah, we just kind of did our own thing, and we were always kind of outside of that whole vibe of what later, you know, turned into what was going on with the Seattle sound or whatever, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. They were all associated at one point, you know, with Sub Pop and that whole scene.
Slash with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators have shared a new tune called Mind Your Manners. It's from Slash's new album, Living the Dream. That will be released on September 21st. He said that his partnership with Kennedy has been easy from the start.
We work really well together. I never really thought about how that's progressing. It's real natural. So it's like any kind of sort of close relationship where I think we established it really, really early on, and now we're just sort of doing our thing, you know. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's just a really cool kind of synergy that we've got.
I'm Poncho. That's your Rock Flash.
I'm Sean Tompkins. This is Roots of Rock, and I'm speaking with Pete Goodall today. So, Pete, thanks for joining us. Do you want to start off by letting us know a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, well, I am one of those backroom boys of the business where I play guitar and various other things. I arrange, I produce, and do all those kinds of things, but I go way back. My 73 years, so 60 years ago, I first got on a stage on Merseyside and had to play a solo in a band of 18-year-olds when I was a little younger and and go flat out on a solo from Jerry Lee Lewis doing High School Confidential. Oh! And well, I was scared, but when I got to the end, I thought, I can do it. I never looked back. So I played in Liverpool bands until some session guys from London were down in Liverpool. And one of them, a guy called Dick Hextall-Smith, came over to me in the band room and said, you should be in London doing the sessions. I thought, oh, okay. So off I went. In the meantime, I'd done a recording at the studio of Percy Phillips, which was the only one in Liverpool at the time, and not only the only one in Liverpool, but it was the first in Liverpool, and 3 years before I was in there recording, a little band called the Quarrymen were in there recording.
And so the Quarrymen, some will know, some maybe not. That's the band that went on to basically form the Beatles.
John, Paul, and George from the Quarrymen, they became the Beatles, yeah. And in fact, you listen to their first recording, which was a cover of Buddy Holly's that will be the day. And it's very much, as the Beatles always were, really, John's band, with George and Paul doing the harmonies behind him. And it's John. It is unmistakably John. Couldn't be anybody else.
So is that recording of the Buddy Holly song, that is now considered one of the first recordings with those three musicians, correct?
It is the first one they made, yeah. And then the B-side, In Spite of All the Danger, was actually written by Paul, but uniquely for Paul, first and last time ever in his life, he gave her credit to George because George played the solo. Now, I don't think Paul these days would give anybody a credit for playing the solo. They'd pay a session man X number of shekels for playing a solo. In fact, if it was a solo that George wasn't going to be used on, George Martin would never tell them. He'd just get on with it. But those days, In Spite of All the Danger, that B-side was uniquely McCartney / Harrison. First and last time for Paul, would you believe?
You mentioned in there recording with Percy Phillips, and that was where the Quarrymen recorded their first recording. So let's talk a little bit about Percy Phillips and how you're involved with trying to preserve and expose his legacy. What's that all about? And this is the Percy Phillips exhibition that's going to be part of the International Beatles Week.
That's right. And this is a special event within the International Beatles Week. Because I went to see the Cavern people 18 months ago now, and said, look, I've got this collection, Percy Phillips. And I told them exactly what it was, what it was all about. And they said, oh, well, we met out at the Adelphi Hotel where they have the Beatles convention. And they said, come with us, there's a room here which we've never found a use for, but it would be perfect for you. So they took me to this big room about sort of, it was octagonal, wood-lined, beautiful room. And I said, would this do? I said, would it do? I said, that would be perfect. I said, how much are you looking for? And they said, no, you have it. This is special. I thought, okay, that's fair, you know. So they've given us the room, they've given us the publicity, they've given us all the help we've needed. We've done really well. Paul even did a gig at the Cavern the other week, and in this gig he was promoting Percy all the time. next Sunday, that's a week, it's the 26th of August, we shall see. As I say, the man is delivering here a pallet of CDs at the moment, and I guess all the Beatles fans will want to know about Percy, because Percy has never been promoted before this year. You know, the man who actually started this whole thing going in Merseyside, has never really been acknowledged for what he is, as the pioneer that everybody went to.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that he hasn't necessarily gotten the recognition in mainstream history of rock and roll?
I don't think many of the public really know this around the world. The Beatles weren't known in Liverpool. They went to Hamburg, and they actually worked with Tony Sheridan, who they've always called the teacher. It was Tony who really got them singing harmonies properly together. And when they came back from Hamburg, they were promoted as the band from Hamburg, the Beatles. And of course they were all decked out in their leathers, and they'd had the haircuts, obviously, and they looked like people to us on Merseyside, they were like people from outer space. You know, we'd never seen anything like this. And Brian Epstein, who knew Percy well, Brian was a frequent visitor to Percy's house and Percy's record, because Percy had a record shop, you know, of American imports. And they, you know, they brought the house down because, particularly for the young girls, the teenage girls, they were something exotic. And a guy called Bill Harry had a magazine called Mersey Beat, and he promoted them. You know, he knew them because he'd been at art school with John and Stuart. So he really did so much promotion in Mersey Beat. Well, in the end, Brian Epstein and Nems bought Mersey Beat. So the upshot was that, as far as the public's concerned, their project, I would say it was John's project, with a little help from his friends, from Paul, that really wasn't seen by the public to have started until, if you like, Love Me Do and Please Please Me came out. What went on before, Epstein never talked about, Bill Harry never wrote about, none of the, Neil Aspinall, who's doing all the PR with them, never talked about. None of the band mentioned it, so Percy was forgotten.
Can you just let people know where they can find out more information about the exhibition and Percy Phillips himself?
Pretty much. If they go to percyphillips.com/shop, they'll find all of the records there and the merchandise. And then the whole website, obviously devoted to Percy, his whole history, and a lot of what we're having in the exhibition next week is there. What we hope is to take the whole thing everywhere in the world where there's a Beatles convention. And there's a lot of interest already, the Japanese fan club, the German fan club, and the Dutch fan club are all interested already. And they'll be at the convention, so we'll be talking to people and they'll be talking to us. And if it looks like a success, which I'm sure it will be, then I think we'll have something which can travel the world and just tell people how this whole thing really started in Liverpool.
Well, best of luck, Pete. We're looking forward to hearing more about it. Thanks so much for joining us on Roots of Rock today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope it's been interesting for everybody.
It is. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks, Matt, and you. Bye.
Bye now. Thanks for listening. I hope you found that as interesting as I did. The Percy Phillips angle really digs deep into the history of the Beatles. And hopefully, if you're in the Liverpool area, you'll get a chance to check out the exhibition and all the events at the International Beatles Week. I know if it was myself personally, I would be checking it out. And who knows, maybe one day they'll bring the show on the road and hit up Canada, and then you will definitely find me there. Thanks for joining me. Rock and roll!